If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblogues.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code podcast at joyandblokes.com.
Welcome to the deep dive. So when you look at Bangladesh right now, politically, one thing is really, really striking.
Yeah. What's that?
It's this, well, this pretty unusual show of unity. Dr. Mohamed Yunus, he's the principal advisor there.
Right.
And he's getting support from, you know, both left-leaning and right-leaning groups all across the spectrum.
Yeah, that definitely stands out. It's a fascinating moment, isn't it? Because Bangladesh is, well, it's heading towards elections.
It's supposed to be between December and June, roughly.
Exactly. And in this whole transition phase, Dr. Yunus is, he's become this really central figure. So the fact that all these different political camps are kind of rallying around him, it's quite something.
Absolutely. And for you listening, trying to get a handle on this without, you know, drowning in details, that's what we're here for today.
Yeah, cutting through the noise.
We've looked at the sources, mostly a key news report that covers what all these different parties are saying. And our mission really is to understand why. Why this united front for Dr. Yunus? And what does it actually signal about the political climate there?
Okay, so where do we start? I guess the most obvious point of agreement is, well, almost everyone is telling him not to resign.
Yes. Yeah. It's this really consistent message, isn't it? Party after party basically pleading, please stay on as principal advisor.
They seem genuinely worried about him leaving.
They do. They're saying his departure would be a major setback. That's the word they're using.
And their reasoning is pretty telling. They think if he goes, all the progress on reforms, justice, just general national stuff, it could all unravel.
Yeah, or at least be seriously undermined. There's this feeling that things could get worse politically if he steps down.
It really highlights how maybe fragile things feel on the ground. Mm-hmm. That these groups, who normally disagree on a lot, they all see him as maybe the only one who can keep things stable right now. It says a lot about trust or lack thereof in the usual structures, perhaps.
And it's not just asking him to stay, is it? They're also saying, we'll cooperate.
Yeah, pledging support, offering to help the government. Do its job during this period.
It shows a real desire for some kind of stable path forward, even with all their political differences bubbling underneath.
Okay, so that's point one, don't resign. What's the next area of consensus?
The election timeline. Dr. Yunus has said he's aiming for elections between December and June.
Right, and that seems to have gone down pretty well.
Yeah, leaders from various parties are saying publicly that they believe him, they trust he'll stick to that window.
And specifically, they believe he won't try to hang on to power beyond June. They expect the election to be wrapped up by that.
Which is interesting because the report suggests that actually talking to him directly helped calm some nerves.
Uh-huh. So face-to-face assurances made a difference.
It seems so. Like whatever internal fears they had about delays, his commitment seems to have eased those anxieties for a lot of them.
That really underscores how much rests on his personal credibility with these different factions.
Definitely. Now, what about Dr. Yunus himself? What's his take on all this? We got some insight from Mahmoodur Rahman Manna. He is the chair of Nagorek Rakyat.
Right. Manna shared some details after their meeting. What did he say?
Well, Yunus apparently expressed some pretty serious concerns. He talked about, and this is a direct quote apparently, Indian dominance.
Wow. Okay, that's a strong phrase.
Yeah, he apparently sees it as a force that's actively, you know, opposing change in Bangladesh.
So concerns about external influence, specifically India. That's a recurring theme in Bangladeshi politics, though obviously views differ on it. Did he elaborate?
He apparently described the situation as a significant crisis. Even said something like these external forces could destroy their progress in a day.
That sounds like someone feeling under immense pressure, like he's navigating some dangerous waters.
And Manna apparently clarified that Eunice doesn't just see it as pressure, but as a, well, a conspiracy linked to this perceived Indian dominance.
Okay, so he's framing it very starkly. Conspiracy and external threat.
And internally. He also seemed worried about something else.
Yeah.
He expressed concern, maybe even some hopelessness, about the unity among the political parties themselves weakening.
Ah, so he sees internal divisions as a vulnerability.
Exactly. He stressed the need for national solidarity to face these external threats he perceives, like the country needs to pull together.
Which raises a question, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a call for genuine unity, or is it partly a strategy to consolidate support against this external factor he's highlighting? Hard to say.
It is. So given all that context, his concerns, their pleas for him to stay, what were the parties actually asking of him? What advice or demands did they have? Let's start with Negorek Okya, since Manna shared those insights.
Okay. Negorek Okya's advice was basically talk more. Increase dialogue with all the parties.
Be transparent.
Yes. Share the election plans openly. And crucially, they advised him to focus only on essential reforms right now.
Why essential?
To avoid delays. Their main concern seemed to be sticking to that December to June election timeline. Don't get bogged down in complex reforms that could push things back.
So, election first, major reform later.
That seemed to be their message. And they reiterated their belief that the timeline wouldn't slip past June.
Makes sense. Get the election done. And what about Eunice on this? Did he respond to that?
Apparently, yes. The report says he stated he has no interest in, you know, extending his own power or the interim government's life.
So he's committed to the timeline, too.
He even reportedly said he'd resign if needed to make sure the election happens by June.
That's a strong commitment.
It is. And Negorek Okya backed this up. Their priority is a fair election over maybe a whole raft of deep reforms right now.
Okay, let's switch gears slightly. What about the Communist Party of Bangladesh? Mujibul Islam Salim, their former chair, also spoke out.
Right. Salim had a pretty stark warning for Dr. Eunice. He told him they see forces actively trying to nullify the spirit of the July movement.
The July movement. Can you just quickly remind us what that refers to?
Broadly, it relates to the recent popular uprising and the demands for democratic change that brought this interim government into being. Salim's point was that they need to be vigilant.
Against what specifically?
Conspiracies, both internal and external, he said. Plots aimed at basically undoing the gains of that mass movement. They see it as their political duty to guard against that.
So a sense of needing to protect the transition.
Definitely. And they stress the need for government cooperation to keep the political process moving forward. They seem worried about spoilers trying to derail things.
Did they talk about unity?
They did, but with a nuance. Salim distinguished between unity and uniformity. He argued that real, meaningful reform needs public participation.
Meaning?
Meaning the interim government shouldn't try to do everything itself. Fundamental reforms, he argued, should really be decided by the people through fair elections.
Let the public mandate the big changes.
Exactly. The election is the key mechanism for the public to express its will and choose the path forward. It's about the link between elections and reform. Reforms need that public buy-in to be legitimate and counter-vested interests.
So, similar to Negorek Okya in prioritizing the election, but maybe with a stronger emphasis on the why public mandate.
Perhaps. And like others, they also told Dr. Eunice they see no alternative to him leading. His departure would risk everything.
That message just keeps coming back, doesn't it? Okay, what about the AB party? Manu spoke for them.
Yeah, Manu brought up some practical points. They suggested maybe announcing the election date too soon isn't wise.
Why not?
Because the administration and other institutions, they might not be fully ready yet. Things need to be properly set up.
Right. You need the machinery in place for a credible vote.
Exactly. So they proposed developing a roadmap first to create a, quote, more comfortable election environment. And they understood Eunice would announce that roadmap when the time was right.
Sensible. They also apparently noticed Eunice seemed a bit discouraged.
Yes, the report mentions that. And that senior politicians tried to reassure him. It hints at the pressures he's under.
So the AB party, focus on preparation, roadmap first, maybe don't rush the date announcement. Did they mention coordination?
They did. They'd actually suggested a coordination team involving the political parties.
Good idea.
Well, it didn't happen, apparently. And they linked this lack of coordination to some tensions, especially with the BNP, and also, interestingly, some friction involving the military.
Okay. So coordination challenges, what was their preferred timeline?
They suggested before February, ideally. but also signaled they were flexible. Their main point seemed to be finding a resolution through compromise.
Got it. Moving on, the Revolutionary Workers' Party. Seyfel Huck, the general secretary, also noted Yunus seemed uneasy lately.
Yes, echoing what the AB party observed. Mm. Huck was very clear. Absolutely no resignation from Yunus or any advisor.
Again, that same core message. Fear of negative impact.
Exactly. They want a unified government under Yunus. But they also pointed out significant coordination problems within the current setup.
So another voice highlighting coordination issues.
Right. It makes you wonder how much that's hindering things. They also urged careful handling of national interest issues, like the humanitarian corridor mentioned earlier.
Do they have specific demands?
Yes, three main ones. First, make the ongoing trials presumably related to past events, make them visible quickly.
Accountability.
Second, discuss and implement necessary reforms, but based on broad consensus.
Yeah.
And third, they asked about the Chittagong port.
And the response on the port?
Limited, apparently. Yunus didn't give much away on that one.
But their overall message was pretty strong, wasn't it? About responsibility.
Very strong. Huck said the responsibility for democratic reforms, for creating a new political order the public wants, rests squarely with this government. He framed it as possibly the only chance they'll get.
High stakes.
Extremely. They urged Yunus to fulfill this historic role, despite any pressure, ensure justice is swift, meets international standards, and sets a precedent.
Okay, and quickly, Saki from the Consensus Commission, any update there?
Just a mention of a July 15th deadline, they've set to publish a national charter based on things they've agreed on. So work is ongoing to find common ground.
Good to know. Let's cover some of the Islamic Party's perspectives. Jamiat Ulema Islam.
Their Secretary General, Manzoor Islam Effendi, basically urged Yunus to stand firm against conspiracies, organize the election, and assured him of their full support. Again, reinforcing that broad base.
Islamic Movement Bangladesh, led by Sharmanai Pir.
Yes, Mufti Rizal Karim. He said they brought Yunus in to build a better country. They acknowledged the immense pressure he's under, the challenges he faces working freely.
And they had quite a powerful line, didn't they?
They did. They said, essentially, your defeat is our defeat. Don't abandon us now. They also pushed for reforms to tackle black money and muscle power in elections concerns about electoral integrity. And like others, they felt reassured about the June timeline after talking to him, but cautioned against controversial decisions.
Hifazat Islam.
Their Secretary General, Sajidur Rahman, advised unity to counter fascism, expressing confidence it wouldn't succeed in Bangladesh. Another voice for a united front.
And Bangladesh Khilafat Majlis, Mamunul Haq.
Haq reported that Yunus assured them he'd deliver an acceptable election by June 30th, 2026. That specific date was mentioned and wouldn't stay beyond that.
Okay, June 30th. That's slightly later than just June, but still in that window. Did they have concerns?
Yes. They felt reforms weren't happening fast enough. They want visible justice for past incidents. Yunus apparently gave assurances on this, leading them to expect positive news on trials soon.
What else did Haq mention?
He claimed Yunus gave two other assurances. One, no anti-national activity regarding corridors without consulting all parties. And two, the government wouldn't take decisions conflicting with Islam.
Interesting claims. What about Gono Odkar Parishad? Nurul Haq Nur.
Nur had a specific suggestion. Remove advisors who have clear political affiliations from the council.
To protect the government's image, make it look more neutral.
Exactly. He also mentioned alleged attempts to create splits between the military, the administration, and the government, urging everyone to work together.
Did he mention the relationship between the government and parties?
Yes. He expressed disappointment about the perceived distance and said Yunus committed to meeting more often.
Did Yunus respond to the idea of removing politically affiliated advisors?
Not directly, according to Nur. He did acknowledge that the performance of current advisors was under evaluation.
Okay, so let's pull back slightly. The press secretary, Shafiqul Alam, gave a broader overview.
He did. He confirmed Yunus met with 23 parties in total, including major ones like the BNP and Jamaat Islami.
And the overall message from those meetings, according to Alam?
Pretty much what we've been hearing. Broad support for Yunus's work on reforms, justice, and elections. Support for him personally and for the interim government.
And the timeline.
Alam reiterated Yunus's commitment. Elections between December and June, with that June 30th deadline specifically mentioned again, which apparently satisfied the parties.
Did Alam share anything from Yunus's own speeches during these meetings?
Yes, quite dramatically. He said Yunus described the country as being in a major war-like situation.
Wow. Why?
allegedly because of attempts by the Awami League, whose activities were banned, to create instability. Yunus apparently stressed the need for unity, for Bangladesh to stand as a dignified nation.
So framing it as a battle for the country's future.
Very much so. Alam reported Yunus felt encouraged seeing everyone united, but also felt a sense of guilt or responsibility about needing to deliver a fair election. He saw this moment as a huge opportunity to recover the country after the uprising.
But also a new threat.
Yes, he spoke of a new warlike situation, internal and external, following the Awami League ban, aimed at stopping progress, causing collapse, potentially leading back to, quote, servitude.
Strong words. Did he offer reassurances?
He assured the parties he wouldn't let anything harmful happen to the country on his watch, and again, kept repeating the December to June 30th election promise, directly addressing BNP demands on this.
And the specific roadmap or schedule?
To be announced when the time is right. But the commitment not to stay beyond June 30th was firm.
One last thing. Trust in the administration. How did Yunus address that?
Alam said Yunus focused on the government's three big tasks: reforms, justice, and elections. The hope being that successful reforms would build public trust for the election itself.
And just to confirm, did anyone actually ask Yunus to resign?
According to Alam, no one demanded his resignation, though some did talk about a possible reshuffle within the advisory council.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this. If we boil it all down, what's the core takeaway?
Well, it really is this remarkably broad consensus, isn't it? Across almost the entire political spectrum, the message is Dr. Yunus needs to stay, and he needs to hold elections by that June deadline.
And the drivers seem to be a mix of things. Fear of instability, maybe concerns about external pressure.
Exactly. A desire for stability, navigating perceived external interference, and moving towards some kind of new political setup seem to be the common threads pulling these disparate groups together behind him.
But there are differences too, right? Especially on reforms.
Absolutely. While they agree on keeping Yunus in the timeline, you can see different priorities and probably different visions for what kind of reform is needed and when. This surface unity might be hiding some significant underlying tensions or competing agendas.
It definitely paints a complex picture. Which leads us to a final thought, something for you, the listener, to ponder. Given this apparent unity, everyone back in Yunus, everyone agreeing on the June deadline, what are the hidden fault lines? What are the potential challenges lurking beneath the surface that could still throw this whole process off track?
And what does this very unusual consensus really tell us about the state of politics in Bangladesh today, and maybe about the role external factors are playing in shaping its path?
A lot to think about, indeed. We hope this deep dive has helped you navigate some of that complexity.
If you're feeling exhausted, puffy, anxious, foggy, gaining weight, or just not like yourself, you're not imagining it. Women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are experiencing massive hormonal shifts, and no one is explaining what's actually happening. I'm Katie Whalen, co-founder of Joy. I built Joy because I lived this. The fatigue, the mood swings, the weight changes, the confusion. Your symptoms are biological, not personal. And AI-generated lab reports won't fix them. Every Joy lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who specializes in women's hormones and connects every biomarker to how you feel. Energy, metabolism, mood, sleep, skin, weight, everything. Then, we personalize real solutions. Hormone therapy, peptide therapy, supplements, and lifestyle protocols. Get started at joyandblokes.com today. This month, new customers get 50% off labs, and you can add our estrogen face cream for just $1 with clinician approval. Use promo code PODCAST at joyandblokes.com.